I'm going high tech because I can't go low tech. My printer is out of ink. I know. You have a printer? You know what's interesting about printers? When I was working at Air New Zealand, they did a. I came across this statistic because we were looking at home printed bag tags and boarding cards and things like that. Most people, you know, it used to be everybody had a printer, but now the average, you know, a lot of people don't have printers. They don't even have them at home. The average age of like printer owners is 50. You know, kind of, yeah, because like, you know, we like to print stuff. So that's an interesting tidbit. So if you don't have a printer at home, you're not alone. So we're talking about communion here. So this is a combined, you get two for one, communion and message all in one. Isn't that good? So it's interesting. I was thinking about communion and Christmas. A lot of people ask me, I've been in New Zealand for almost 20 years now. My little daughter, who's now this tall, she was 4 months old when we came here, and now she's 19. But a lot of people ask me, oh, Chris, you're from the States. Do you miss living in the States? And I give them the same response, which, I love America, but I live here now. I don't miss the States, but I feel sentimental for the States at Christmas time. You know, I love Christmas. It's by far my favorite holiday. Becky will tell you that sometimes I sneak in some Christmas music around September, October, because, hey, it's cold here. It kind of gets me in the mood. But I love Christmas music. I love Christmas. I remember in the States, we went to a big church, and, you know, they had these big Christmas, you know, musicals and all the... It was just something about that, you know, the lights and the music. Oh, other fun fact, because, you know, they love Christmas. Some of the radio stations, kind of like the easy listening stations, at Thanksgiving, which is the last Thursday of November, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, they would just throw out their playlist and be Christmas music all month long. I loved it. I love Christmas because another funny thing is then you hear secular, you know, people singing God's praises and Christmas carols. Isn't that neat? You know? But Christmas is an amazing time. The lights, the music, the celebration, and it's the spirit of Christmas, you know, the season of giving. And one thing about Christmas and communion is it shows the generosity and loving nature of God. I'm reminded, I just think of how generous, you know, how kind and gracious God is that he sent his son Jesus. And you know that Christmas is when the gift arrived, and Easter, and you know the communion we remember, is when the gift was opened to all of us. So if you'll grant me, you know, it is Christmas, 'tis the season. If you'll grant me some creative license, I want to share about that. We come around the communion table about how at Christmas and at communion, we see that Christ is the perfect gift. All right? So Christ is the perfect gift. We see that at Christmas. We see that at New Year's. At Easter. So I'll just read to you. This is from Matthew chapter 18. Sorry, chapter 1, verse 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All righty. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Or more like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Righty. When the Spirit of the Lord moves. Okay. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So as we celebrate Christmas and come around the communion table, let's focus on how Jesus at Christmas and the cross was the perfect gift. Verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Because that is why Jesus came. A lot of us, you know, it's a lot of times we focus on kind of the secondary blessings of, you know, of the doubts and, you know, healing doubts and fears and worries and things. But Jesus came to save us from sin. The sin that separates, the sin that leads to death, the sin that causes so much havoc in our lives personally, in our relationships, in the world. Jesus came to save us from sin. And the amazing thing about how Jesus came, and this is how he's the perfect gift, is that only he was a suitable sacrifice for our sin. Because as he came as God, fully God in the flesh, only he was uniquely qualified to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Only he could be fully flesh and knowing firsthand the temptations, the tirednesses, the frailties of the human, and yet not sinning, remaining a perfect sacrifice for us. That he who had no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He arrived, we celebrate his arrival at Christmas, and we remember his sacrifice on the cross. At the cross and at Christmas, we remember that God sent the perfect gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Another interesting thing about Christ being the perfect gift is God knew exactly, and he still does know exactly, what we need. I remember when I was a kid, mom, you know, to help mom and dad out, because you know mom and dad need help when it comes to buying gifts, getting the right gifts. So around November time frame, mom and dad would say, here's the Sears and Roebuck catalog. You might not know Sears. It was an old, you know, it's kind of like Farmers, but much, you know, much bigger. They had hardware, Craftsman tools. They had everything, right? And so around November, early December time frame, I get the Sears catalog. And anyone remember what a catalog is? Okay, all right. I know, it's so distant, isn't it? So what's that? Comes off a printer, exactly. So I go and so get the Sears catalog, and I was like, you know, like 6, 7, whatever I was. So I have to flip through the boring stuff, flip through all the clothes and the appliances and all the toy section. Great. So these beautiful, you know, pictures of the latest toys. And so I would either kind of write a list, okay, mom, this is what I want, and here's my Christmas list. Or, you know, if I was really, you know, to make really, really sure, cut it out of the catalog, stick it on a piece of paper and say, here, mom, here, dad, this is what I want for Christmas. Because that way they knew what I wanted, right? They knew exactly what I wanted. But do you know, there's some people who just are really empathetic, really in tune. And do you know these type of people? They always know how to get the perfect gift. They know even before the person who receives it knows. They just know so well the personality, the needs, the what colors will look good on them, that they know, you know, that. So then they go out, they think of the person, and they get the gift, they wrap it up, and they give it to the person, and they say, wow, that's amazing. I didn't even think of this, but man, that is really perfect for me. God knew, and he still does, know exactly what we need before we even know it ourselves. God knew that we needed salvation from sin. Matter of fact, the first place that Genesis chapter 3 is where the cross is actually talked about, is actually mentioned about, as soon as sin came into the world, so did God's plan for Christmas. I will send the Son, I will send him. You know, talk about Jesus and being crushing Satan's head. We didn't know what we needed, but God knows. God knew we needed sin. And sometimes, not only do we not even know we didn't know we needed it, sometimes we didn't even want it. Right? Living in rebellion, living in sin, living, you know, in the pain and the frustration that our sin caused us. We didn't know we needed it, but the perfect gift came anyway. Grace came. And God said, here, give me your sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. Give me your pain, and I'll give you my peace. Give me your confusion, and I'll give you a truth that will transform your life. There'll be an anchor in the toughest storms. We were running from God. We were away from God. But yet, he knew the perfect gift. He knew exactly what we needed. And he still does today. So God came. He was the perfect gift because he was uniquely qualified, God and man, to be a sacrifice for our sins. He knew exactly that we needed salvation from sin. And here's another thing, a perfect gift. Verse 23 says, "And the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Isn't that interesting? God with us. There's a great book by Max Lucado called God Came Near. It came out a few years ago. But it talks about how the humanness and how God came near. God walked among us. God, he wasn't just a theoretical God. He's not just some kind of God of the abstract, but he came in human form and walked the earth among us. God among us, Emmanuel, God with us. God, he didn't stay in heaven, he came to earth. He walked among us in the flesh and now is with us in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John that he did not leave us. When Jesus left the earth, he physically left, but yet he left his Holy Spirit. The Spirit, forget the Greek word, but basically the same kind, the Spirit of Christ. Christ with us, Christ in us, God with us. That isn't it amazing that God said he'll never leave us or forsake us? You know, you might have a loved one that you just need some space from sometimes. God doesn't need space from you. God with us. God who is for us. God who will be walk with us through the tough times, through the bad times. God is still with us. In the good times, he's with us. In the bad times, he's with us. In the doubts, he's with us. In the economic challenges and the doom and gloom and COVID and all the other things, he's with us. In the difficulties with our family and what our kids are going through, he's with us. And his grace is big enough. When Jesus came, he came to save us from our sin, not only the punishment of sin, not only damage of sin, but to restore the relationship with a living, loving God that sin severed. Jesus Christ, the perfect gift for Christmas. So as we come, we'll just take all the emblems, grab the emblems, and then we'll go back and we'll pray and eat together and reflect on the generosity of our loving God at Christmas and at the cross. Let's just take a moment to reflect on the generosity and the kindness of God in sending his son Jesus. Lord, as we come to the table of communion, we just remember your kindness to us, sending your son Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. God, we thank you for his broken body. Lord, we thank you for the spilled blood. We thank you, Father, that this gift of salvation, Lord, that his body and blood are enough. Your grace is sufficient, Lord, and that you are big enough to forgive every sin, to wash clean every heart, and to restore our relationship with you and with each other. Thank you, God, for your mercy to us. Let's eat and drink together.